Good morning. Good to be with you. Been in this building once before for a presbytery meeting. Much more pleasant being here for worship. So I'm glad to be here for that. My wife and I live in Apex, North Carolina. We have two children, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them and about a great blessing we have. But let me read for you Psalm 128 concerning the blessings of God. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So the blessed life. Since December 31st, my wife has been living the blessed life. I've been sharing in that with her. Have I made you curious? I don't know. Well, that's when our first grandchild was born to our daughter, a little boy named Finn. So some of you are like, okay, and others are like, oh, that's so wonderful. But to my wife, it's wonderful. And I love seeing her and my daughter sit on the rug in my daughter's home, playing with Finn, who's now 8 months old and 1 day. I have that day in there. So we have the blessing of a grandson, which leads to a sense of blessedness. And so this psalm speaks of the blessings that God gives. And in those blessings, we have blessedness. We have that experience through these gifts that come from God's grace, that come from the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross from us. For it's from him whom blessings flow to us. So this morning, I'd simply like us to consider the blessings that come, to whom they come, and from whom they come. So first, the blessings that come. I think that first blessing, or maybe the overarching blessing, is that sense of blessedness, of it is well. We sang this morning, it is well with my soul. So there are two distinct words here in Psalm 128, used or translated as blessed. The first one occurs in verses 1 and 2, and the ESV, which I read and you use, have it translated as blessed. It also might be translated happy. Better opening this psalm may be, oh, how happy. Something along those lines. But it specifically carries that idea of a sense of well-being, of shalom, of wholeness. This morning, driving down the road, I was driving down and I had that sense of wellness. I thought, is this the Lord or is it the coffee I just had? Yeah, the coffee gives us that sense, right? But the Lord gives us a lasting sense of wellness, of wholeness. Now, the other word translated blessed is in verses 4 and 5. And it speaks of blessings given to us from outside of us. Someone gives us something. Someone blesses us with something. So again, we can think of being blessed and experiencing blessedness. Psalm 116 speaks well of this. It says, let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. Let my soul be at rest. Let it experience that shalom, that blessedness. Why? For the Lord has been good to me. And after this kind of overarching blessing of blessedness, the psalm speaks of particular things. First, it speaks of the blessing of our daily bread through God's provision of employment. We work, we eat. God provides for us through work. Verse 2 says, "You shall eat of the labor of your hands." One of the ways we know that employment is a blessing is a great challenge of being unemployed. You may be sitting here this morning and you may be unemployed. It's a hard thing. It's a challenge. It's a challenge financially. It's a challenge emotionally. It puts stress on us. It puts stress on marriages. I have a friend who was unemployed for about a year, a long time. And he asked the question, "Who am I?" He was used to working. You know, he's used to that question, "What do you do?" And he said, "How do I answer that? Do I say I do nothing? I feel like I do nothing. I feel like I am nothing." Well, we know ultimately our identity is in Christ and not in our employment. But God has given us the gift of work through which he supplies our needs. So it's not an unimportant question, really, to ask. What do you do? The mother or dad at home? The baker? The doctor? The teacher? The student? Or about God's work? To his glory. To do it as unto him. So again, the Bible, in a sense, sums it up. If you are able, you work, you eat. So we're blessed that way. We're also blessed in relationships, especially relationships of family, which can be hard, can't they? Difficult, challenging, they are. But when Jesus was offering comfort to his disciples as he was about to go to the cross, he did not simply say to them, "Okay, you're going to be in heaven one day." It's much more specific than that. He said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you." That's quite different than simply saying, "You'll be in heaven." In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. You know, I think about that. Home, parent, God our Father as our parent, children, we are as his children, a room. A room is a special place to have your room. You know, my brother and I had to share a room together. He's younger than I am. So when I went to college, I see a couple of heads nodding there, having that same experience. I know my brother was glad because now it was his room. Several years ago, I preached the funeral of a friend, and my friend loved to sail. And as I was preparing to speak at his service, I thought of Jesus preparing a room for Bill. And I thought of Jesus hanging a picture on the wall of a ship, of a sailing vessel. Because it's a room prepared for him. It's deeply and very personal. And this personal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blesses us with relationships. So in marriage, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home. Marriage is surely high on the list of God's blessing to all mankind. I had a wise older friend, and he used to always say, "God loves marriage." And I think he was right. Adam had that relationship in the garden before sin. He walked with God in the garden. And yet, what did God say? It was not good for him to be alone. What a strange thing to say. And there was Eve for Adam. I've been blessed with my Eve, with my wife, for 42 years now. I'll say 42 and a half because it's a half. You know how the, if you're three, you say, I'm not three, I'm three and a half. We haven't been married 42 years, but 42 and a half. Several years ago, my wife said, maybe two or three, she said, you know, something to the effect of overall, we've had a good life together. I like the way she said that. She could have said, you know, Eddie, every minute, every second, every day of our relationship has been so fantastic. I wouldn't have believed that. She knows better than I know better. I love the way she put that. Very simply. And I know talking about marriage can be challenging for some. Maybe you had a difficult marriage that didn't go well. You may be in a difficult marriage. You may want to be married and you're not married. And also God does call some to be single. But marriage is a blessing to all. As a minister of the gospel, I can marry two unbelievers. They're equally yoked. They're both unbelievers. And marriage isn't just for believers. Marriage is God's gift to everyone. Then there's the blessing of children. Verse 3, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. It's another area that can be challenging for some. My wife and I, our children are both adopted. We were not able to have children biologically. We struggled with infertility and infertility won. There was sadness. Sometimes there was envy and anger. All of our friends our age were just having children. It's very hard. And a certain percentage of the population faces that. You may be here and you may be facing that. You may have faced that. Why I'm saying this. It was a longing to have children, but I didn't realize how deep it was. Until March 5th, 1985, I received a phone call, and I picked it up, and it was Ann Sluice from Bethany Christian Services. And she said, Walter is my first name, but nobody who knows me knows that. She says, Walter, we have a little girl for you. My wife was working with Transworld Radio in New Jersey at that time. I called her and she couldn't even talk. Her friends around her thought somebody died or something because she was crying and couldn't talk. And I remember kneeling down and praying and I just started weeping like a fire hydrant. There was a father in me that was drawn out. I'm 68, so I cry a lot, so be careful. And March 5th was what? It was our anniversary. What an awesome anniversary gift God gave us. And she has been perfect every day since then. No, she's one of those kids who was born smoking a cigar and barking orders, and she hasn't stopped yet. God bless that little boy. She's always been a mother and always wanted to be. God gave us children, and now a grandson. His promises are to families, including children. The promises for you and for your children. God is a family God, a covenant God. But there's a bigger family. Psalm 68 says, God sets the lonely in families. I don't know if there's a more beautiful verse in all of Scripture than me. God sets the lonely in families. I think in the prayer this morning there was a mention of those who are lonely. And as I was looking over my notes this morning and that verse just spoke to me, I thought this morning of people in rest homes. I thought of widows. The odds are my wife is going to be a widow one day. I thought of widows in a rest home who rarely ever get visited. or maybe who never give. You could spend your whole life ministering to the lonely. The lonely. God cares for the lonely. And God is setting the lonely in families, and God is making a big family, His church, the family of God. If there was no other reason for being a follower of Jesus, it would be to have a family, to have this family around the whole world of brothers and sisters in Christ. What an amazing thing it is. When we lived in Kenya, I worked mostly in the bush. I worked with the Maasai, very traditional people. And it was the kind of thing where I would get in my vehicle and you go down this way and you turn right at the third tree, kind of deal. I mean, out there, people who live in dung huts, but people to whom the gospel has come, and people who are in our family, for God sets the lonely in families. So we see in this psalm a growing circle of blessing, the individual who's blessed, the wife, the children, grandchildren, and then the bigger family of God's people. The circle that's ever growing outward. And so there's a beautiful prayer and benediction in verses 5 and 6. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. As you prayed this morning, the hurricane, and God would spare Wilmington. May you see the prosperity of Wilmington all the days of your life. May God's blessing be upon this place in which God has set you to be His witnesses, to be His hands and feet and to love. And as I think about this psalm, these blessings are simple gifts. Somebody might say, well, all you've said this morning is get a job, get married, get old, and have grandchildren. Wow. We like big promises, like Satan made to our first parents. You'll be like God. The simple gifts of God are precious gifts that remind us of the gloriousness of His grace. A beautiful, simple blessing ultimately is worth more than anyone's bank account. Your house is square footage, that remodeled kitchen, your internet speed, and yes, even your new phone. You can't be rich until you recognize what true riches are. Now, I've come to point two. Don't worry, two and three are shorter. One was a long one. So point two, to whom does this blessedness come? But the psalm begins, blessed is everyone. That's the initial answer to the question, to whom these blessings come. While recognizing that there's a group of everyone that's specified by the words, who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. But when I see the word everyone in Scripture, it always catches my attention. It is a gracious gospel word. By God's common grace, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And by grace, anyone may learn to fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Everyone. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. And Jesus, on that last day, the great day of the feast, stood up and cried, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. The gospel is wide. The call of the gospel is wide. The gospel is to go to all nations, all ethnos, all ethnic groups, all peoples. So I can't pass over that word, everyone, because it included me. Does it include you? Do you believe that? Now that particular group of everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways, it would be a mistake to take this qualification as speaking of the qualified. You know, our Book of Church Order has a section on worship. It speaks about the Lord's Supper. Sort of tells you how you might do it. And how the worthy communicants may come. Who are the worthy communicants? Who are the worthy ones? The one who declares yourself unworthy. Ever heard the difference between gossip and the gospel? Gossip is declaring my righteousness and your unrighteousness. The gospel is declaring my unrighteousness and Christ's righteousness. To love God with a holy fear does not characterize any one of us in our own nature, but by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who gives life to the dead. God's showing his grace. And God is working the right fear of us in us. In Exodus 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." Moses said, don't fear, but fear. Don't fear in this way. But may the fear of the Lord be before you, that you may not sin. The preacher Spurgeon said, God's ways will be our ways if we have a sincere reverence for him. If the heart is joined to God, the feet will follow hard after him. If the heart is joined to God, the feet will follow hard after him. Do you fear God? And are you learning to walk in his ways? If you are, you are blessed. Told you 2 and 3 would be shorter. We're already at 3. From whom they come. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. You know, I think what the Bible teaches us and the point I'm going to seek to make is not only from whom they come, it's radically important, but in his gracious character, God blesses his people freely and generously. Heard someone recently made the observation that people who look at the followers of Jesus sometimes might wonder what kind of a father we have. Do we wince as the father draws near, as an abused child would? Do we have the wrong kind of fear of God? Do we view him as miserly as Ebenezer Scrooge, cursing if a penny drops on the floor for us to pick up? J.I. Packer on adoption. Since my kids are both adopted, the biblical subject of God's adoption of us has meant a whole lot to me. And J.I. Packer, in his great book, Knowing God, has a chapter called Sons of God. And in that chapter, he says this. He says, in adoption, God takes us into his family and fellowship and establishes us as his children and heirs. Closeness, affection, and generosity are at the heart of the relationship. I love that last sentence. Closeness, affection, and generosity are at the heart of the relationship. How do you view your relationship with God? Maybe it's just sort of there. Maybe not wanting to get too close. Maybe not knowing how. I think Packer's right. God is close. He has affection. Twice from two different people, I've heard them say, I knew God loved me because that was his job, but I didn't believe he liked me. That's a neat statement. And generosity at the heart of the relationship. Consider the logic of Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is a great piece of evidence that points to an overwhelming generosity in the heart of God toward blessing his people. I've given you my son. What shall I now withhold? God tells us he delights to bless his own. Psalm 35. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say forevermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servants. Do you believe God delights in your welfare? He says that. Believe his word. John wrote in his gospel in chapter 1, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. One translation puts it, because of all that the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another. These simple gifts come from an infinite God, and therein lies such great worth. I have a new set of utensils for my grill. I love them because my daughter gave them to me for Father's Day. You're not her father. They can't mean to you what they mean to me. And when your heavenly Father gives you good gifts, they can't mean to others what they give to you because they come from his hand. Someone said happiness belongs not to the rich, the powerful, the prosperous, but in every state and condition, blessed is the one who fears Jehovah. This morning we sang a version of this, It Is Well. You know, it's an older hymn version of It Is Well. When we were living in Africa, a friend of ours, their 7-year-old daughter died, and they asked me to come back to Cary to preach a funeral. They didn't want to ask me. I said, it's so far and expensive. And said, your daughter, Rebecca, I want to be there. Yeah, Rebecca touched a lot of people. She was ill with cancer for 1 year, from October to October. And as they put in the announcement, she was dancing now with Jesus. And as the family proceeded into the sanctuary that day, the choir began singing It Is Well, because Jack and Cheryl had requested It Is Well. It was hard, but it was well. Is it well with you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that on a cruel cross it was not well with you, and yet for us you gave yourself. We thank you, we bless you, we praise you. We confess, if we know you, whatever our hardship, whatever our days, whatever our lives, that ultimately it is well. And so we pray, Jesus, in your name, amen.